Hello. Welcome to another episode of the North Avenue Lounge. I'm your host today, Chris Gray. Welcome back, or I should say welcome myself back, since I'm only here every few weeks. On today's episode, I'm talking with my friend Francis Chang. Francis does it all. Improv, sketch, wrestling, puppets, and even a few things I didn't even know about. Today, we're going deep, deep, deep into the artist community here in Atlanta. And she's going to educate me on a lot of things I had no idea about, guys. I'm in it, and I still had no idea. So yeah, we're going to start out with me making some very incorrect assumptions about today's guest. And her swiftly correcting me. And that is why you should not make assumptions, my friends. You think you know someone, but you don't. You don't. In your head, you're just like, oh, I think this. And then they're quickly like, nah, you're an idiot. So that's how we started out today. And it only got better from there, because where are you going to go? Anywhere but up. Anywhere but up? Nowhere else but up. Well, the conversation went up. So check it out. Hope you enjoy it. My friend, Francis Chang.
Yeah, what were we going to talk about?
I know what I wanted to ask you. First of all, give me some of your background. Where are you from originally? I know you're from Florida.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
No.
I thought you were from Florida.
No, I grew up on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did I think you were also from Orlando?
I don't know. That
was a weird assumption.
It's also a touristy spot, but not nearly as big.
Okay, all right.
I was born in Philadelphia, though, but I grew up on Hilton Head, which since I was 7 months old.
So. Okay, all right. And where prior to 7 months, where were you?
Philadelphia and maybe a little bit of Kentucky.
Okay. Oh, wow. You're almost true Southern
almost
your whole life. Okay. Now, where are your parents from?
So both my parents were born in China.
Okay.
But my mom's family moved to Taiwan.
Okay.
So my mom's family is in Taiwan and my dad's family is in China.
Okay. I'm a product of the U.S. public school system. What's the difference? Taiwan and China. Taiwan, I thought Taiwan was a city, but no, it's not.
No, Taiwan is an island.
Okay.
Just southeast of the mainland China, and okay. It's the People's Republic of China, and they're an independent nation, and they're not communist.
Okay. So, like Hong Kong is separate.
It was, yeah. Hong Kong is now back part of China.
Okay. I have a brother who lives in Hong Kong right now. And my sister-in-law is Chinese by way of Jamaica.
Okay.
Her parents came from China, moved to Jamaica, had her, which is really interesting because she's Chinese, but she can do that Jamaican accent really well, which throws people off, and it's hilarious.
Well, like the first Chinese people I met when I moved to Atlanta.
Yeah.
One was from the Bahamas and one was from Nicaragua.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I was thinking, oh, my parents would be so proud. I'm hanging around Chinese people, but none of them know Chinese or are from China.
Whoa, so. That's okay. Why? I wonder now why Nicaragua.
I don't know because both his parents are Chinese national and they wound up in Nicaragua. His name is Carlos Leon York.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't know how that happened. This was about 20 years ago when I first moved here, and he got married. We went our separate ways. So I don't hear from him. He's not on the Facebooks.
Oh, so, he's off the grid.
Yeah. Okay. So when we all knew each other, it was way before internet and cell phone and smartphones.
So. Okay. All right. So when did you come to Atlanta?
I came to Atlanta in 96, right after I graduated from college.
Okay. So were you here in time for the Olympics?
Yes. I moved here right before the Olympics. So I had heard all of these horror stories about the traffic in Atlanta. It was going to be bad. But apparently everybody got paranoid, so they left, and so traffic was great when I first moved here. Then everybody came back, and I was like, oh, this was the traffic everybody was talking about.
Okay, all right. And since you've been here,
you've kind of had your hands in a lot of different performance genres, if I want to call it that. I've met you through doing improv.
Right.
But prior to that, you were involved with Steve Platinum Wrestling, or?
Yeah, Platinum Championship Wrestling.
Okay. Tell me about that, because I know nothing about wrestling.
All right. Well, this has all been like in the past only 8 years.
Okay.
Since I've been in Atlanta. So to get into wrestling, I guess I got to go further back.
The backstory.
I got into wrestling through puppetry, you know, which is a natural progression.
Okay. Well, let's go back to puppetry then. Interesting. Okay.
Okay. So in 2008, I was in a career transitional period, we'll call it that, which was also the recession. So I, like being a person that can't sit still, while I was looking for a job, I decided to find some place that would take me on as an intern so I could keep my resume active and do something fun and just not be in the house all the time and depressed. Mm-hmm. So I contacted the Center for Puppetry Arts and, you know, explained, well, I know it's unusual to be a 35-year-old intern, but I love these movies. I love Jim Henson. This is what I grew up with. And I would be so stoked if you would, you know, let me intern in the marketing department. So mm-hmm. they did. And, learned a lot. That's when I first started doing XPT, which is Experimental Puppetry Theater, which is part of the adult series. I just decided to go to the like open call meeting, and the people that were selected to produce their own pieces were, you know, pitching their pieces. Mm-hmm. And one spoke to me, not the person, but like the piece.
Yeah.
And that was Steven Platinum. And he happened to be the husband of the head puppeteer at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Oh, wow. This really goes like deep here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like it's all, you know, all the arts in Atlanta is just all intertwined.
Yeah.
It's so deep. So his piece, I like to call Kill Bill Meets the Matrix with puppets.
Okay.
Because it was the four seasons that just battle each other to the death.
Okay.
And that's what the seasons are, kind of like what we're seeing outside. And then they reset and then they do it all again. And so the four seasons were actually four women that are like Dad's Garage affiliated. And then the extras, the puppeteers, we puppeteered the people.
Okay.
In their fight scenes. And it was all like angles and moving them around. And a lot of, he had brought in a lot of wrestlers to be some of the puppeteers to be able to lift them up and manipulate them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's how I met some of the wrestlers. That's how I met Steven Platinum. And then he got the opportunity to bring back his wrestling show because he was running a wrestling school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd become tight with them because that's what I do when I meet people and you know, we're in close proximity.
Yeah, you get in there, you like network with them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be your best friend.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, you do some cool shit. I want to do it too, which basically was, hey, you're doing this thing. I want to do it too.
Yeah.
So we were at this little dinky studio called Sam Stone Studios in Turner Field. Started having shows. We had training and then we started having shows and it hurt.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first time I went, And the guys were bumping in the ring, and like it was just boards, wooden boards, on a metal frame, and then like just some tiny padding over it, and then they were jumping like 5 feet in the air and landing on their face, on their back, and you could just hear like the boards creaking and the frame just making all this noise. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?
Now, prior to this, had you done any kind of performance or athletics or like, because going from puppetry to wrestling is such a huge jump, it seems like.
Well, I did grow up an athlete. I played softball and volleyball.
Okay.
All through high school and then intramurals through college. And then moving to Atlanta, I played in like a volleyball tournaments, had played a bunch of leagues. I coached. So, like, volleyball was a part of my life, like, 3 to 5 times a week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then gradually, like, performing and all this extracurricular creative activity has mm-hmm. taken over. So, like, I'm trying to find a balance still of being athletic and being creative.
Okay.
And then performance-wise, did 2 plays as a kid. I was the co-lead in both, but I only did 2.
Okay. Now, what did you study in college?
I was a business major.
Okay. And then coming to Atlanta, what, up until the point you went to the Center of Puppetry Arts, what was your, I guess, your job? What were you doing then?
So I had always imagined myself going into advertising. I thought that was cool. I watched Who's the Boss, and, you know, Angela was this big advertising exec, and that was the thing you do.
Who's the boss?
Yeah, who's the boss? So, and then when we're choosing colleges, you know, there was no internet back then.
Yeah.
So I had the big Barron's book of schools listed in alphabetical order by state.
Oh, I remember that book.
Yeah, so like, how are you going to look up what you're interested in? You just know what state and what, or maybe the name of the school.
Right. And you had to go through each school and look like, what are their colleges? Right. What are their majors?
Yeah. I had no idea. And it's a thick book. So I picked a school in state, which is what my mom wanted. And my sister was already at Clemson. So I picked Furman because that wasn't Clemson and it was the furthest away from home.
Okay.
So to play it safe where I could find a job, I majored in business.
Okay.
But my interest was always in the arts. I'd used up all my electives taking art and Spanish classes. And if I had been ambitious enough to stay another year, I could have triple majored. But I just wanted to get done. So then I came to Atlanta and like the web was just sort of exploding. And so my sister had gotten me an interview with one of her clients, which is this like web startup company. And so I learned a little bit of Photoshop. And then as most first jobs out of colleges do, that didn't last. and several jobs later, like I met a man who took me under his wing and brought me into Coca-Cola as air quotes here, an intern. And then like in their presentation graphics department, and everybody was just like these really cool artist people, and they were really welcoming. And so that's where like they taught me or helped me learn, you know, Adobe and all of this, like on PC and on Mac. So I switched from business and incorporating my art interest to being a graphic designer up until 2008.
Okay. Wow. It's interesting because first of all, I love that you kind of did the similar thing I did, was like kind of like about 35. You're like, I need a creative outlet.
Right.
And sometimes motivated by the economy, like you're like, I'm out of a job. Now I have all the time in the world to pursue something. So you start going out looking for that. I never thought of going to the Center of Puppetry Arts. But it's just interesting, everybody's kind of path, like puppetry led to wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because
people look at me weird when I say that.
But it's, you know, it's, but here's the thing. Like, I had friends growing up who were into wrestling. I remember, you know, trying to watch it with them, and I watched it, but I really wasn't that into it. But I remember, you know, Ric Flair and these names.
Right.
And it was just interesting, like, once I got older, I never even thought about wrestling again until I got to Atlanta and I heard about Steve Platinum and the wrestling. And I was like, oh, people are still doing that. And I don't know. And it was just interesting that like, oh, our mutual friend, John Carr.
Yeah. That's how we met.
Yeah. Him and his brother Raymond. And I was just like, what? People are wrestling? That is so like, it was just the furthest thing from my mind that that was something that existed.
I never would have thought, because like I grew up watching it, and that was like just, like, I'm not close with my family, but that, like, I watched with my dad, and that was, like, one of the few things that we did together.
Okay.
Until I got into a fight in my neighborhood, and none of those moves worked. And I was like, this doesn't work. I'm not watching it anymore. And then I thought it went away. Like, I never knew that it, like, had made a comeback until I met Steve and John.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Raymond's heavy into, like, he's, like, the puppeteer in Atlanta. So it's funny that you mentioned John and Raymond. So, like, they have like the similar interests, but they have different niches in the Atlanta creative market.
Oh yeah. They're what an interesting family. Are those like their parents are like traveling Christian clowns.
Right.
And then they have these two kids who are puppeteer, improv, and wrestling.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, what an interesting family, you know?
I really want to like be a fly or actually be at their dinner table one time.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would love, I'm fascinated by, and like his parents, their parents live out in LA.
LA.
And are they still clowns?
Think,
Are they retired?
I believe they're still performing. I'm not sure. I'm not the expert on the Carr family.
It's fascinating. Whenever I keep telling John, whenever they come to visit, please let me come to dinner with you guys. I just want to like sit down and, you know, clowns. Tell me about that.
And they are adorable. I've only met them a handful of times.
Yeah.
But they are just as you would imagine, like your friend's parents would be, just like all proud of their kids and adorable. I think one of the first times I met them was at a Raymond Carr show where it was a performance about their grandmother. And okay. there was a sex scene in there, like it with shadow puppets. And their parents were in the front row. I'm like, Oh, wow. You'll have to ask him about that, because this was a while ago, so I don't remember the whole details, but it was about their family.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The music is different here. The vibrations are different. Not like planet Earth. Another place in the universe, up under different stars. That would be where the ultra-dustman would come in. Equation-wise, the first thing to do is to consider time as officially ended.
Tune in Saturdays at 8 p.m. for Coffee and Sushi, playing the best in atmospheric, chilla electronic music. Saturdays at 8 p.m. only on WREK Atlanta.
And now we're back. Aren't commercials great?
I took a long drink of water.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Gotta hydrate.
Yes.
So, okay. So we've gone from puppets, which you're still performing or puppeteering. It's kind of what do I call that?
Okay. Well, the term is puppeteer and puppeteering.
Okay.
I don't really like to use that word for myself because like, I feel like I'm coming in from the outside and there's so many people, like there are degrees for puppeteers and puppet building. Like UConn
really?
has an actual master's degree for puppeting, for puppeteering.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't want to, minimize people's experiences and their education and in their background. So, and I'm just like a aficionado, a person that just appreciates the art of it.
Yeah. So, you're a journeyman.
Right. So I call myself a prop ninja.
Okay. I like that.
I move things around.
Okay. I like that. I've always felt the same thing about acting. When people are like, oh, you're an actor. And I'm like, No, there are people who have gone to theater school.
Yes.
And have done plays and productions. And I'm like, I just mess around on stage.
That's exactly how I feel. Yeah. I don't call myself an actor. I don't really refer to myself as an improviser. I goof around on stage.
Yeah.
I don't use the hashtag set life, even though I'm getting into film and stuff, but it's just like, this is stuff I do for fun.
Yeah.
And so like the professionals that are trying to make a living try to get paid, they're the actors and the improvisers and the puppeteers.
Yeah. I always have that. I don't know. Is it like a little bit of an inferiority complex where I'm like, no, don't call me that. I haven't really worked at this, but I'm doing it.
I don't know if I would call it an inferiority complex, but maybe like the imposter syndrome.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to impose on your world, but I really find it interesting and I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. Even though you're like doing it, you're just like, I'm in here, but yeah, I'll do the same thing you're doing, but you have all the training.
Yeah.
I don't want to cheapen what you've been doing. Here, I just walked in with no training and I'm doing the same thing.
You're my Yoda. I'm your Padawan.
Okay.
I'm cool with it.
All right. So tell me about how long did you do the wrestling? Because you had your wrestling name.
Yes, I'm Dr. Melee.
Okay. Which is funny because before I actually knew your name, because on Twitter, that's what it was.
Yeah. And I have a Facebook page. So,
yeah. So I was just like, oh, yeah, her name's Melee. And I was like, and I thought you were a doctor. I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't think it was a wrestling name.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
A lot of thought went into that name because it's a pun.
That it is.
And it sounds like a name that suits an Asian.
Yeah, it does. For those who are like uninitiated into wrestling, I was just like, oh yeah, that's her name. That works.
So, what was the question?
Just tell me about wrestling and like, how long did you do it? And are you still doing it?
Okay. So, met Steve in 2009 and then we started shows in 2009 in June at Samsung Studios, which was tiny little rinky-dink ghetto place. Mm-hmm. And then we started doing regular shows at Academy Theater around the beginning of 2010.
Okay.
So I've been involved since 2009, and what you're like, when we moved out to Portadale, I took a lesser role. That was around 2011, 2012.
Okay.
So I still make appearances, but I'm not as active because I was also like really active in like the promoting and the marketing, mm-hmm. And that type of thing, which is why I have like my own Facebook page and Twitter. I was an admin on their Facebook, booked interviews, like people who discovered us through Twitter and that type of thing. But then like when it moved out to Porterdale and Steve moved to Florida, and then we've got some like other talented people that took over the booking. So like I let them all handle that now, but like I'll occasionally make an appearance if they need me. Like we just had a huge show, like the WrestleMania of our federation is called Sacred Ground.
Okay.
And we had it back in Avondale Estates. And so like a lot of the old faces like John Carr made an appearance. So you know, Melee came out and helped people that were injured and held people back that needed to be held back.
So what was your costume for Dr. Melee? Did it actually involve a white lab coat?
Okay. It wasn't too elaborate. I had a white lab coat that Gina Rikiki, very talented costumer, adjusted to be all punk rock. I had a stethoscope, a real stethoscope, and then I was gifted like a really nicer stethoscope from one of the fans.
Okay.
I had an actual first aid kit,
all right.
And then I just would wear funky boots.
Okay.
And a cut off scrub shirt.
Okay. All right. Now, what was John Carr's wrestling persona?
John Carr, I'm breaking all sorts of kayfabe here, but John Carr is Timmy McClendon.
Timmy McClendon.
And he's the wrestler that rides the short bus. But everybody loved him.
That sounds about right for John.
Yes.
That sounds like a character he would do.
he got over so much. It was amazing. Like people would come out or peek as soon as he would come out to wrestle or speak or anything.
Wow. So tell me about, okay, now moving from that into improv. It was that now you have the connections with John and Raymond and Gina. Is that just kind of the natural? You're like, oh, here's another arts area I can go conquer.
Yeah, that was one of the roads. Like I had been familiar with Dad's Garage. I've been to the shows, and then Lucky was also really really active in at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was actually like some of the first shows that I saw there. I had Lucky in the Halloween show, and. So yeah, like through Steve and like Law, Kira, Mary, Perry, John, like I got to know the Dad's Garage people, but it wasn't for another couple of years before I started taking classes.
Okay.
I went through a breakup, and what do? You make changes and try new things. So I went through a breakup, and I was like, well, I know all these people. I like to do these things, or I want to get over my fear of public speaking, so... signed up for some Dad's Garage classes.
Okay.
And that's how I got into improv.
Okay. Well, speaking of, let's go back to the breakup. Oh, and not necessarily the breakup, but what I love, and I, when we're all together at the theater, you not Delaney, I just blanked on her name. Dagny. That's it. Oh, she's not going to hear this. Dagny. I love hearing... like the internet dating horror stories out there from my single friends. Let's talk a little bit about that because you guys have all had these like either just weird interactions from like, and the ones I really find funny are like, I don't know if it's Tinder or whatever it is now, but just like the guys who they're opening, like this is their first, hey, how are you doing? intro right. online, and they completely mess it up.
Yeah, I haven't had any Tinder dates.
Okay,
so I've had just like a few conversations, and they've been interesting. My most notable and quote unquote, I guess, worst date would be from OkCupid from before this particular breakup, and it's so long and convoluted. I don't know if I can get it all in.
Oh wow! Okay,
but I'll. I'll try to, long story short it. He like called, it was all enthusiastic. You know, of course, I try to put the most interesting things in the profile, which include puppetry and wrestling. So he was intrigued by that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, he sounds excited. We'll give it a try. So we were going to go to the High Museum that closing weekend where they were open all night.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was a chef at the W. And so like I would, you know, I was going to go pick him up since he didn't drive, which should have been a red flag.
Wait, no car or he just didn't drive?
Both.
Okay.
Like he was going to like catch the MARTA. And I was like, well, I'm running late for my hair appointment. I'll just come get you.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll cook you something. And he made me ramen noodles. Like he's a chef at the W Hotel and he made me ramen noodles.
What?
I guess that's number two, right? I guess he had already had some drinks when I got there. I wasn't attracted to him, so I was like, but we'll have fun, you know, we'll make the most of it. I'm sometimes a nice person. within like 5 minutes, he broke a glass of wine. And things went steadily downhill. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is just the beginning of the date. His roommate came home. And so I started talking to him. And so I was like, why don't you come with us? So I talked the roommate into coming with us. But he had to get ready. So as a chef, this guy said he was interested in fashion design. So I was like, oh, to continue this conversation, let's see some of your fashion.
I shudder to think what he showed you.
I'm going to have to show you a picture of it later because he blogged about it. But I walked into his room and on his wall is paper bag underwear. And you might ask, what is paper bag underwear? It's underwear made from brown paper grocery bags. And they had names like the Cowboy and the Mowgli.
Wow. That, oh my gosh.
So these are the first impressions I'm getting. And he's like, oh, here's this the belt buckle I just made. And it's a bunch of clothespins that he had glued together. And it looked like a picket fence. And it was literally like 4x8.
That's a belt.
Yeah. Actually, no, it was popsicle sticks and it was held together by a clothespin so that you clipped it to your pants. So it didn't really even hold your pants up. You clipped it with a clothespin to your pants. These popsicle sticks glued together. Really high fashion.
This dude sounds like he was homeless and trying to make...
I don't know.
Homeless fashion design. We did a show of some of us over at Synchronicity Theater, and there were some SCAD students that were helping out with various technical things. So afterwards, we had a drink with a couple of them, and this one guy... super nice kid, but he's like, oh yeah, I go to SCAD. I'm studying animation. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And so he started talking about like, you know, what he likes to do and art and everything. And he showed me pictures of his sketchbook, things he draws.
Yeah.
He couldn't draw.
No.
Like I kid you not, the drawings look like something like, 10-year-old, and I was like, oh my gosh, has no one told you?
Oh no.
I was like, I was like, I'm not gonna be the one to say it. And I was just like, oh, there you go.
Maybe it's a lot of computer stuff.
I hope.
Yeah.
Because what he showed me in those sketchbooks, I was like, this is not, you know.
Yeah, like I wondered if there was something like special or off with this guy. Because when we went to the High, we made it to the High and it was a really cold night.
Yeah.
So we're standing in line and huddling, and he kept trying to put his arm around me, and I'm like, no, we're not like that. And then, but then he would tell the people in lines like, this is my future ex girlfriend. She's gonna kick my ass. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you're like, why would you? That's a weird.
I'm like just stop. Please stop.
Just
and you know there were entertainers out because the line was long. It's a special weekend, so like the Imperial Opa was out with these stilt walkers. And this woman in this very obvious flamingo stilt costume comes by and he runs over. Oh, can I take a picture? What are you, a squirrel?
Oh.
And her handler's like, well, I've never heard that one before.
She's like, that's a first.
So, yeah. And then There's more.
Wow.
Do you want to hear more?
Oh, this I love these stories.
This might be like in parts. So we get to the front of the line and he sees somebody he knows. And so I pay for us to go into the museum.
Oh my gosh.
He leaves right as we get up to pay. Yeah. So there's a lot of people and I'm trying to be nice, but I'm like, can I lose this guy? There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we would get separated, but he would eventually find his way back to me. And I'm like, oh. So I spot somebody in one of these little rooms off to the side that like an acquaintance, like somebody I just met, but knew well enough to go over and say hi. And I was like, okay, maybe if I stay in a group, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
And she's wearing like a regular shirt, but like a long necklace. And he reaches over, touches her chest to grab the necklace and is like, oh, this is cool. And I'm like, no.
That's like something a toddler does.
You don't touch strangers' chests. You must stop.
Oh my gosh.
And then he was still trying to put his arm around me and he's like, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you like me? And I'm like,
you're like, let me count the ways.
Yeah, we're just not there. This is not appropriate.
We're just not there.
Yeah, this is not appropriate.
Wow.
Then we ran into the curator of the exhibit, and he was like this hipster guy with funny glasses and fun shoes, and he like runs up to him. He's like, oh, let's take a picture. And then the guy he was talking to was like, yeah, this is the curator for the Dali exhibit. Oh, that's really cool. And the guys and this dude. Starts talking to him about Colorado because they're both from Colorado. And I'm like, yeah, we should go.
Yeah.
You know, I can't subject the public to you anymore.
You got to do a public service.
Yeah. As we were leaving, he's like, oh, he totally would have come out, hung out. Like, he's from Colorado. He's totally cool. We should have hang out. And I'm like, no, he did not want to hang out with you.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, was the roommate out with you guys this whole time?
He started off with us and then, you know,
he was
wandered
like,
off. Yeah,
yeah, he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he wandered off. But we did meet up with the group again later. We collected and I was trying to ease my way out. But the group's like, no, let's go to Tin Roof. Yeah, Tin Lizzie's.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is a big group. We should be okay. And I tried my hardest not to be like cornered with him. But
yeah.
He wound up sitting right next to me with no outlet. And he is hammered by this time, and he's like spilling his cheese dip and his drink. Somebody made a comment about him spilling his drink, and I was like, yeah, he already broke a glass when I first met him tonight. And like, oh, you just met him. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know this guy.
This is not a thing.
Wow.
And it's funny, one of the ladies, she had just got done modeling, and she's like the boyfriend of the girlfriend of one of the friends, and she's Chinese. And so she starts speaking to me across the table, like, do you like him? Is he with you? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, help me.
Please help me.
Yeah. Like, we're both not native speakers, but we knew enough to convey this. And so I just wanted to convey to the group that we are not together. Because, again, he reaches over to somebody who's wearing the High Museum stickers, like, oh, what's that? And touches her chest.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this lady, she's like, no. We don't do that. So like multiple people have to tell him not to touch other women's chests.
Wow. He's like a toddler.
He was.
Really is.
And then he, like Tin Lizzie's has like the paper tablecloth.
Yeah.
And he wrote on there, I heart you with the arrow. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Have to get him some crayons.
Somebody,
so he can color.
I'm like, he might murder me. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. You are a trooper for hanging in there that long.
Yeah.
I would have so ghosted someone. I've back in my single days, because one of the things I hate it, just someone who's sloppy drunk, especially like, you know, like, let's drink, have a good time. But
right.
Don't get like obnoxious. And there've been a couple times there's that obnoxious person and I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. And I'm like, out.
I had never had this experience before. So I was just trying to like, okay, well, he's with friends now. Like they all wanted to go out dancing and I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
His roommate was like, you sure you don't want to go out? And like, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet you guys.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Stick a fork in me. I'm done.
It's like, do you want us to walk to your car? I'm like,
nope.
I can find it.
I'd rather get mugged.
Yep.
I'd rather be held up at gunpoint.
Pretty much.
Than stay here any longer.
So,
I welcome it. Yeah. I welcome it.
So that was my worst date.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Marnie Stern, and you're listening to WREK Atlanta.
Aren't commercials fun?
I really like that product.
That, you know what? I would buy two of those.
For $9.99.
At least.
Yes.
Plus shipping and handling. That's something they don't have anymore. Remember as a kid, there was always like plus $4 shipping and handling. And I'm like, what exactly is the handling?
Yeah. What are they doing? Yeah. Are they fondling it?
Yeah. And now I was watching something on late night TV and now they have shipping and processing. And I'm like, processing? Amazon doesn't charge shipping and processing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, matter of fact, they get free 2 day.
Free, I know, right?
Or free 1 day now, which is really weird. I'm like, how is that? Who's dropping that off at my house?
Those are the ones by drone.
I know. I want a drone.
You want to see a drone come by your house?
I want a drone. I'm so curious on how they... the same day, like who's where?
I guess it depends on the inventory of the local warehouse. I mean, because it's not available for everything.
Yeah, but I'm curious, like where they must have a local warehouse in the city somewhere.
Oh yeah,
it has to be. And now I'm
to
in
be as huge as Amazon. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm like I know they have like the distribution centers, kind of like Walmart. So right. They have the big distribution centers and then they truck it out to each store. So, but the one day I'm like, it's gotta be in the city somewhere. Or is it like Uber where they're like, hey, somebody wants something from Walmart. And the guy just goes, picks it up, drops it off. You know?
Could be. I mean, cause like for the one day it's kind of like if you look at it, they're like the household items.
Yeah.
You know, like the stuff that you need in a pinch or like, you know, batteries or toilet paper, that type of thing. It's not going to be like the obscure Green Lantern scarf that you're going to get in one day.
You know what? When was the last time you've been in a mall?
Mall. I go to Phipps Plaza for the movies.
Okay. But to actually shop.
I hate going to the mall to shop. Okay. I hate going out to shop.
As do I. I was in a mall yesterday at Perimeter Mall.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Sometimes I'm an idiot. So
sometimes.
I was supposed to be up there for an appointment at 7:30. I don't know why. In my head, later in the afternoon, I thought it was at 6:30.
Oh.
So, but then since I was thinking 6:30, around 5, I was like, ooh, traffic's going to be bad. I better leave, you know, about 5:10, 5:15, because it's going to probably take me an hour to get up there.
Right.
Got there in like 25 minutes. For some reason, all the traffic was coming into the city at 5 o'clock, which was odd.
Right.
And like from here to Perimeter Mall, I was there in like 25 minutes. So now I'm like, and then I looked at my phone and realized, oh, I'm not supposed to be here till 7:30. So now I'm here 2 hours and I can't come back. I was just like, I don't know what to do for 2 hours. So I just walked around the mall and I was just like, who still comes in here? Like, why are you not shop? This all can be delivered to your house.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, only people in the mall should be people like me who are like 2 hours ahead for something and they're trying to kill time just by walking around.
Do teenagers still hang out at the mall?
Or oh my gosh. It's all
teenagers.
This is my thing. I'm at that age now where almost everybody under the age of 30 looks like they're 12 to me.
Yes.
So everybody in the mall, and I get it. Cause like everybody who works in there, they're all like high school and college age. So everybody, I was just like, just all kids, man. It's just, you know, except for that one security guard who's walking around. You know, he's like my age. And I'm like, what a gig, man. But I don't know. It's just in the parking lot's full. And I'm just really like, who, you know, you can get this delivered to your house. Probably cheaper than you're about to buy it here.
Right.
So I'm really fascinated that, because I thought malls were supposed to be over with. I thought they were done.
Well, now I think malls are turning into more high-end boutiques where you don't really go to shop, like purchase something and take it out with you.
Yeah.
You go in to look to see what you want and then like order to your specifications or customize something.
Okay, so it's like a showroom now.
That's my theory.
Yeah, I'll go with that one, because I was just like, why are these people here? Like, every now and then, you know, I did run into like the older couple that's clearly there just to walk around and get exercise. Yeah. I'm like, all right, yeah, they're walking around.
Food court.
I gotta admit, have you been up to Perimeter Mall lately?
Not in a while. The last time I was up in that area, I wound up just going to Old Navy, which is next to the mall.
Okay, it's been a while since I've been up there, so they've obviously renovated it.
Yeah,
I was like, food court's been upgraded a little bit from.
They have?
Well, they had your usual, the Chick-fil-A, the Moe's, but then they had like some high end restaurants, which I didn't even know the name of. This is how out of it I am now. Okay. The big anchor stores at the mall.
Right.
You know, it was always like JCPenney's,
yes.
Macy's. And those are the only two I can think of right now. Dillard's, like that. There was one. Yeah, Belk. There was one where I was like, I've never even heard of that store. It was like Bocado or something.
Oh,
and I was what? It's all just like a JCPenney's or a Macy's. They all look alike.
Yeah.
But I was just like, that's new.
Huh.
I was like, I haven't even heard of that. And I'm just like, old man Chris. When I was a kid.
I'm going to pull my pants up to my nipples and just walk around. Yeah. Shout at all the kids, get out of my way.
Oh my gosh. All the kids. Do you ever, I always think about this because I am old and I think about death a lot. But everything is just, it's a young person's game. Everything. And so it's like one of those things where like, even with like Dad's Garage, the theater, and I'm like, okay, at what point do I get aged out here? You know what I mean? It's just like they're young people, they're taking classes, they're funny,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm old man Chris up here on stage. You know,
it's tough too, and then also like being single, all prospects coming in, they're all too young.
I can't imagine. I am always in awe of like guys my age who are dating like 20 somethings. And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like that just sounds exhausting. Like I'm already tired. You know, you're like, oh, she's 24. Ugh.
What do you talk about?
Yeah.
Like, you stare at her head while she's texting on her phone.
But it's not even like, I can't imagine going out like clubbing.
Oh, I can't even think about going to dance clubs anymore.
No. You know what I love doing? I love drinking at home.
I like house parties.
Yeah, well, not even a party.
Or just.
Just, you know, I love being social.
Right.
Like when we all hang out at the yacht club after shows and things.
Yeah.
I love that. But a piece of me is always thinking, hey, guys, if we did this in my living room, these drinks would be cheaper. And I'd be home. You
know? Yeah, one of the things I find myself looking forward to now is my own couch.
Oh, yes.
I'll plan my, like, I'm at work and I'll plan my day around like dinner and then when I can be at home sitting on my couch.
Oh, isn't sleep fantastic?
Oh, I love sleep.
Oh, I did something yesterday and we were done about 9:30. And then I was with some other comedians, and they're like, oh, we're going to go do this show, this open mic. You want to come? And I was like, it's already like almost 10. I'd rather just go home. Like the 10:30 show at Dad's, it is so hard for me to get up and leave at 9:30 and go do it, which is why I'd rather go to the 8 o'clock show and just watch it and just already be out.
Yeah.
Because once I'm on my couch at 9:30 and I'm like, oh, I got to get up and go. I'm so reluctant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I volunteer at Dad's and then like working like a Thursday show, you're there for the whole shift for both shows. So you don't get home until after midnight. And it's like, oh, why did I do this? It was fun. Oh, why did I do this?
Oh, yeah. When you're getting up the next morning for work.
Yeah. Like last night, I had a show with the Rookery, like our radio Rookery Hour with Ian Custer. So we had a show last night. We had to show Monday and Tuesday. So last night was our closing night.
Okay.
I went out Monday because Tuesday was a regular working day. But Wednesdays, I have a 7:30 morning meeting every Wednesday.
Oh, why? Who? Yeah. Why?
So last night, I didn't go out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm so sleepy.
Oh, a 7:30 meeting.
Every Wednesday we have 7:30 meeting.
What sadist schedules that? That's almost as bad as having like a 5 or 5:30 p.m. meeting.
Right.
We're just like, no.
You know who schedules these meetings? Sales guys. Because at 8 o'clock is when you should be out selling or doing work.
Okay.
So.
I'll give you that. Yeah, that definitely sounds like a sales. We're like, we got to be out there. We got to be, you know, at 8:30, 9 o'clock, we got to be knocking on doors. We have to be, you know, let's do all of our meetings at 7:30 or at 7 p.m. I'm like, oh, guys, no, no.
Yeah.
For the best variety of deep, down-tempo, ambient and atmospheric electronic music. Tune in to Coffee and Sushi, Saturday evenings at 8 p.m., only on WREK Atlanta. Saturdays at 8 p.m., bringing you the best chill-out music from across the bass music and dance music spectrum.
And I'll admit this, because nobody I work with probably listens to this. I doubt it. But everybody, they schedule, like on Microsoft Outlook, you can see each other's calendar, or at least when they have free time.
Yeah.
So I intentionally, on my calendar, I put in blocks of time, like fake meetings, at least until 9:30. And then afterwards, starting at 5 on, I'm just like, nope, don't even try. Because my first week on this new job, I noticed like people, they love to schedule the conference call.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody wants a conference call for everything. So I got to the point where I'm just like, they're popping up on my calendar. And then pretty soon, like, I've been on conference calls all day. And I'm really like, how are they filling up my day? Then I figured, oh, they're looking at Outlook and they're like, oh, he's free at 2. Boom. Meeting invite. So now I'm just like, oh, I see what you're doing. So I just fake meet, because it doesn't tell you what, if you put it doesn't tell you what it is. I just say out of office. Block. But I'm like, does anybody ever look and say, he's consistently blocked until 9:30 every morning, and then after 5, and then at lunch from 11:30 to 1, it's just a block. It's like, don't bother me.
Way to beat the game.
Oh, yeah. As long as they don't ask too many questions.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of conference calls for this job, but when I worked for the circus, we had so many conference calls.
The circus? Okay. Puppets. Wrestling. Improv. I know you're writing sketch.
Yes.
Shooting, you're starting to shoot film and sketches.
Yep.
And a second, and you're doing radio, the rookery. Mm-hmm. And you worked at the circus.
I did.
You've covered all of show business.
Well, I worked in the office for the circus.
Oh, don't try and diminish it now. You've got your fingers in everything. Wow, the circus.
It was the Universal Circus.
Oh, the Black Circus too.
It was the Black Circus.
Wow.
You said it, so I can say it too.
The Black Circus. Yeah. The Universal Circus. That's I seen that yet? I don't think I've seen that circus, but
it's fun. It's fun to watch.
It's one of those, every time it comes through town, I'm always like, oh, I'm gonna see it. And then by the time it's over, I'm like, I missed it again.
Yeah.
But
it's in town, like in February. It's like circus time. Cause that's when Ringling is here. Then they do
Big
it.
Big Apple.
Yeah. In Big Apple sometimes. So, and it's, you think that, like, that's really poor planning, but like they do it on purpose.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's all the same circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I love it, but a piece of me is always like, when I think of like civil rights, I'm just like, man, the white man won't let us get in their circus. You know, and I just thought, I like, That's just a weird, you know, like, we can work with elephants too, you know?
Yeah, but like when I was there, they were trying to do the whole rebranding thing. So they're more international. Like they get their acts from all over. There's like Russian acts, Chinese acts, a lot of African acts.
Okay.
And then, so what's funny is that, you know, Clayton English just won Last Comic Standing.
Yeah, yeah.
I will claim quote unquote credit for some of his material, not like writing it or whatever, but like being the source, because they were trying to come up with new ideas for the Ringmaster. They've been mm-hmm. doing it forever. And I was like, what if we had like improvisers or comedians host the show and they can do bits and they can transition. And so they did, and they hired Reggie Jackson and N.O. and Clayton English.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then so, like, you know, when Clayton talks about all these international friends, I was like, I know where he's getting that from.
That's so hilarious.
I pat myself on the back for that.
Wow. I did not know he used to. I got to talk to him now.
Yeah.
Man, it is. I'm amazed with how deep the art scene is in this city. Like, I haven't even scratched the surface yet. I'm just, you know, comedy, improv. I didn't know I could go circus.
Yeah, circus. It's all in there. It's all entertainment.
Dude, that you have opened my eyes. A circus. I need to get up on that. That would be a great gig, hosting the circus, being the ringmaster.
Yeah, like Tony Tone. I don't know if you heard of him, but he was the ringmaster for a long time. And then Chucky Ducky. So those were the tried and true ringmasters. And then I was like, well, why don't we get like an entourage, like a group.
Yeah.
So that way, you know, one person can be out, one person can be sick, but there'll always be like a core group of people that will help in all that transition. Man. So that was, we did that for a year.
I want to be a circus ringmaster. That would be so cool.
I'm still really good friends with them. Like,
yeah,
I can hook you up.
Cause it would only be in February. I'm like, hey.
No, it travels.
Ooh, I can go on the road.
Yeah. It's February through November. Or January through November, actually, because February is just when they're in Atlanta. They do, they open in Florida.
I would love to be a circus ringmaster. That would be a fun.
I could see you doing that.
That would be a fun hosting gig of just keeping the show going. All right, let's talk after the show.
Okay.
That'd be really cool. Well, thank you so much for this. This has been fun. See, look, you didn't think you would have anything to talk about, and the time has flown by.
Yes. I'm interesting on paper.
No, you are an interesting person. Don't you dare sell yourself short. You are fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Thanks so much for coming into my living room.
Yeah.
Or my not even my living room. My
studio.
Yeah, my junk room. I hate calling it a man cave.
It's not really a cave.
No.
It's on the main level.
It's on the main level. You're not underground. Yes. You're okay.
There's light.
You're on the main level.
Well, there's not even a TV in here, so I can't really call it a man cave.
Well,
that's where people go to hide from their real world life.
Yeah, but nah, I'm not a big TV watcher. Like, I just watch stuff. Well, I used to love. I mean, I was raised by TV.
Right.
But now I just watch everything on the computer.
So do you remember when we as children were the remote control?
Oh, yeah.
We had to go. And then, like, it was the knob.
The knob. Yeah. And it's like, it was like a hard click.
Yeah, you can't turn it too fast. You'll break it.
Yeah. Hard click. Or did you ever have this? Did you have the big TV that sat on the floor like a piece of furniture?
No, we weren't that rich.
We
were poor.
That was high class. But we used to have where the knob did break off. So you had a pair of needle nose pliers.
I've seen that.
Kids just don't know today.
They have it so easy.
Yeah. Needle nose pliers to change the channel. And there are only, what, three channels?
Yeah. Or UHF.
Oh, yeah. When you had to tune it in. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can see. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. It is amazing. I am always, when I talk to my parents, and like just, you know, our parents growing up, like my parents, my dad used to live like, his house growing up didn't have indoor plumbing.
Ooh.
Like they had an outhouse that they had to go out to the outhouse to use the bathroom. And I'm like, you went from that to now the iPhone, you know, in the internet. Like what a transition in technology, which makes me wonder, like, by the time I get to that age, like, what will it be? Will it all be, they're just beaming stuff directly into our brains. You know, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when you had to have a physical phone. Now it's just like behind my eyelids, you know.
Talking about indoor plumbing. So like my parents' family grew up in China. So they are like, even though they're pioneers in innovative technology, they are way behind in like infrastructure. So one time I went to China, I think it was like 1989. We stayed with family. Chamber pots.
Oh, wow.
In the rooms. And then you had to go out, not to an outhouse, but like to like the public restrooms where it's like a concrete slab for each foot and a trough in the middle.
Wow.
And it was somebody's job to clean out the trough every few hours.
Oh.
And I was so disgusted. I was like, I am never coming back to this country.
Yeah. What a gig. But now...
They've had the Olympics, so they've had to clean up everything and modernize.
Oh, they
haven't been back, but you know.
Most of the newest millionaires are all coming from China. I bet you it's completely different now if you went back.
Well, my sister's been more recently. My dad has moved back, so eventually. But I'm just like, it just scarred me so much. It's like, nope.
Nope.
There are so many other places I would rather travel to. Nope.
Now, I remember, because my brother, he lives in Hong Kong right now, but he used to live in Japan.
Okay.
And I assume maybe it's the same in China, but I remember going into, I think it was the train station we were in, and there was the bathroom, and then they had the bathroom that had either American or like a British flag on it. Those had an actual toilet.
Right.
But the other ones just had the hole in the floor.
Yeah, ugh.
And I was just like, I need some porcelain under me. Yeah.
My knees can't handle squatting anymore.
Yes, I don't have the quad strength.
My ankles don't bend that way. No. So sorry.
I need to sit.
Yeah.
Oh, what a way to go out on the
show. Yeah. Why does it always come back to potty humor?
It always does.
Just try to avoid it.
Full circle. Oh, we can't deny what's inside of us, which is all about the potty.
Yeah. It all comes out.
Well, thanks again. Thanks so much for doing
this. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
All right. And that was my friend Francis Chang. And like all good comedians, no matter what we do, we end it on toilet humor. It's inevitable. Even when we're trying to be all highbrow and talk about something besides that, it's always lurking in the background, people. It's always there. Just when you least expect it, here comes the toilet humor. It's relentless. It can't be stopped. It can't be reasoned with. It can't be bargained with. And it will not stop, ever. Until you have to go to the bathroom. God, that was a hacky joke. And I wish I hadn't gone down that line. But you know what? I did. And there it is. See, I'm not afraid to admit when I make a bad joke, people. Sometimes you're in it and you just can't pull out of it. You're in a steep dive heading towards the ground and you just watch the earth rush up to you and you just say, you know, like, what is that movie? When the guy rides the bomb down with the cowboy hat. What was that? Clockwork Orange? No, that doesn't sound right. Dr. Strangelove. Yeah. Slim Pickens riding the bomb right on down. The last ride, the last hurrah. We might as well enjoy it. But yeah, you can find out more about my friend Frances Chang. Check her out. I mean, everywhere. Center of Puppetry Arts. Platinum Wrestling. High Wire Theater. Doing improv and sketch. And she's doing all kinds of stuff, man. And you can get involved with it, too. You know what? Everybody needs a friend like that. Everybody needs a friend that's out there doing interesting stuff, especially if you're not the one doing it. You know, you need that person to bring some joy into your life. The rest of us who are just working, no creative outlets. That's our show for today. My name's Chris Gray. Thanks for tuning in. Later.